Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, my very special guests are from the Philippines. They are here with the International Visitor Leadership Program brought here by the State Department. I'd like to introduce Catherine Roja Raimundo, who is a reporter with the Center for Media Freedom and Responsibility, and Nelson Victorino, who is an attorney with the Filipino Senate. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam.
It's a pleasure, Miriam.
Can you tell me a little bit about this mission that has brought you here to the United States?
Actually, the U.S. Embassy invited us to take part in this program. There are eight representatives from mostly from government agencies, different government agencies, and one like here, Catherine, is the only participant from the civil society. So we were selected maybe because of our own work that we do in the Philippines in connection with corruption, transparency, and the freedom of information.
Very important. So what have you been learning? You've been all around the United States, and I understand that San Diego is your last stop. What has made the biggest impression on you? Give us some examples of what you've learned.
We've been going around. We've been to D.C., New York, New Hampshire, New Orleans, and as you have said, San Diego is our last stop. Our program mostly is about the anti-corruption, reducing corruption programs of the U.S. government from federal level to the state level.
So you're looking to see what works here that could perhaps be emulated in the Philippines, or I understand corruption is a problem there as it sometimes is here.
Correct. We've been looking at the best practices to reduce corruption. So we've been discussing about the FOI Act in
the Freedom of Information
Act. Some of the offices that assures transparency and accountability in government, like the Government Ethics Government Accountability Office, and the Inspector General and your Department of Justice.
Yeah, that's correct. We would like to see the best practices in governance from the federal level to the local level. So mostly in our engagements with all these various government agencies, one common factor that we mostly agreed on is that the level of salary that the public officer or public employee gets is a very, very good, it's a very important factor that may deter a commission of corruption.
In other words,
in government office.
The higher the salaries, the more apt people are to.
Yes, but we were surprised and when we got to New Hampshire and we found out that members of Congress and the House of Representatives and the senators only get $100 a year.
Wow.
And
so there's no incentive
there's no
to
corruption.
Run for the
there's
office
no
for money.
Yes.
You have to just
so it totally debunks the previous mindset that we got from all the previous engagements. So it's kind of interesting.
Very interesting. Now, I understand, Nelson, that you have been working on trying to get a Freedom of Information Act passed for some time in the Philippines. Can you tell us how that's going?
Well, actually, my principal, the senator, just got elected in 2013. She's on her first term, but she's the chairman of the Committee on Public Information, and on her campaign, she promised that she would push through for the passage of the Freedom of Information Act, which has languished in the legislative archives for the last 28 years. And fortunately, with the help of civil society groups in the media, like Catherine's group, we were able to have it passed in the Senate in record time in 4 months. But still, our problem is the lower house. So hopefully, this Congress will end next year around June. We hope that we could have it passed after 28 years.
Very good. Are there any elements that you have in the Philippines that you would consider good governance practices that we could perhaps learn from here?
I think speaking about independence and autonomy, most of our laws, I would say, are very good laws. We have problems of implementation or enforcement of laws.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good help that we see how you government in the U.S. operates, because we can learn from that.
Actually, right now we look up to the United States model and in the implementation as a benchmark. It's something that's really much better than ours. And I think one good thing to know is you're no different than our country, but only we can really see that the crooks, those who are guilty of committing corruption, are really tried in a much faster pace and cases concluded and they're in jail.
Yeah, you mentioned that one of the cases you looked at here was the Randy Cunningham case.
Yes.
Interesting.
We have a similar case too, where the media took an active role in looking at corruption cases, and that's our $10 billion pork barrel fund that's just discovered. But we also want to do the Cunningham case where you were able to prosecute him. We only have we're still in the investigation phase and filing the trial. We're still in the trial, like looking at our evidence. So. But we have jailed three senators, sitting senators. They're in jail now and undergoing trial. But, you know, we would like to see resolutions such as the Cunningham case, where we really prosecute. And most, I think for me, the important thing is getting back the property, the forfeiture, because that's taxpayers'
money.
What
they stole.
Yeah, so I think that's more important. Because
that's actually a breakthrough, because we've had two past precedents been jailed for corruption charges, and now we have three sitting elected senators who are also in jail.
So these are similar offenses. You are having some accountability down there at the very highest levels then.
Yeah. But you would like to see that all corrupt officials from up there down to the bottom will be made accountable for their shenanigans.
Catherine, what was the key to holding presidents accountable and getting them behind bars in your country? That's quite amazing.
Well, the media is a very big help. They started the investigation exposing the wrongdoings of these officials, and that's why we've been pushing precisely for the Freedom of Information Act, because we see it as an anti-corruption tool that the media and the public can use to help make the government work for the people and not for self-interest.
There you go. What was the most surprising thing that you found in your travels around the United States looking into this?
What's surprising is the realization that ours is not much different from the things that happen here.
Yeah.
Especially corruption in high levels, going down to those in the cities and counties. So what really inspires us to is really how to set up institutional mechanisms that would work without need for media to expose these things.
Yeah.
That we can work to go after these crooks without waiting for media to unearth.
You've mentioned, too, about the implementation of laws that would help prevent and discourage corruption from happening in the first place. Can you give us an example or two of that?
The Freedom of Information Act is one. Secondly, there's a bill that's, I think, that has been filed for government agencies to automatically upload all documents voluntarily. Mm-hmm. So that it's an open data system.
What kind of a campaign finance system do you have down there? Is it similar to here, where we have these massive donations going into political campaigns that gives the wealthy and corporations a very huge influence, labor unions and so forth?
We do, but we do have the reporting of financial disclosures. We do have that. But I think what we've learned here is you're more proactive in terms of getting that disclosures, because you do it before the campaign, mm-hmm. during the campaign, and after the campaign. In the Philippines, we usually do it after.
It's a little too late.
So it's a little too late, right?
So what happens is you get donors who wouldn't want their names reflected in the documents, and then some guys will look for willing dummies to lend their names and to ingratiate themselves with the with the elected officials, just to have their names written on the reports.
Very.
So it's after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the idea that your citizens are in your communities are very active.
I was just going to ask you about that. How important is citizen engagement in keeping corruption under control or preventing it?
We've been to different cities and different states, and we found that your volunteerism is very active and very engaged. We also saw several civil society organizations that have been working closely with the government and with different stakeholders that want to do programs that are about transparency and accountability. And those are the things that we'd like to emulate in the Philippines, you know, push for more engagement from the citizens because they will be the watchdog.
Yeah.
Watchdogs.
They are the watchdogs of democracy. We've certainly had many examples here where ordinary citizens brought us stories. They saw some wrongdoing. They came forward and it came out in media.
In the Philippines, there are volunteer organizations who are into that. They're really watchdogs, but not too many groups. And because of our, the implementation of criminal laws, that the culture of impunity is there, that these whistleblowers, their lives are really in danger from politicians, and the institutional protection that's afforded them is not really in place.
So that's another thing you'd like to go home and maybe implement would be stronger protections.
That's why whenever we talk to agencies about investigating
corruption
in all levels of government,
and
we always
ask about risk.
They get surprised. They're surprised whenever we ask them that. Were you threatened by somebody, by these politicians that you're investigating, or did somebody die or get shot?
Yeah.
Because it's a common thing in the Philippines, especially in the provinces.
Well, I had a story some years ago where I was investigating an issue of election integrity, electronic voting machines that had been tampered with, and I had a very high-level whistleblower inside the Diebold election machine company that had told me basically exactly how elections were being rigged, and he was very afraid to speak because someone else who'd spoken on the same issue had come home and found his dog's throat slit and, you know, a clear warning of not to speak out when he had spoken to media. And I did have a DA in Georgia or whatever state it was come after me wanting me to reveal this guy's name, and I just refused. I said, you'd have to put me in jail to do it. I'm not going to, you know, disclose this source, and they never pursued it further, thankfully. We do have also, there's encryption software and things like that in the U.S. I used to write for a national level media outlet. And there was actually an encrypted program where government whistleblowers could go on and they could leak documents and they could hook up with reporters and you could interview them and verify who they were, but supposedly nobody else could. I don't know now with the NSA if they're reading it all or have figured out how to crack that. But that was another level of protection that was available back then to some of the whistleblowers.
That's something that maybe we should consider.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have the Whistleblowers Act is still pending before Congress, just like our FOI law. So yeah, we do have to work on that.
Yeah. I'm going to give the two of you the final say here. What else have you learned that you would like to share with our listeners here on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice?
Yeah, one of our discussions just recently talked about corruption is opportunity-based. And I think we do agree with that. And in the Philippines, as well as here, we want to minimize those opportunities. And that would be the program that we will think about going back to the country.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I find it admirable, and these public integrity offices in the cities, that the cities we went to where we admire their programs, the integrity of the officers that run that particular section, and I hope that our local governments would come up with such programs, and I think it will start with our leaders who will get elected, that if they really show that they're not really honest and in their deeds and their words, that they also appear to be honest, I think it will start a movement. It will be a strong, fresh wind that will sway the people into doing the same things and supporting the same initiatives for more honest, open, and governance. Yeah.
Honest, transparent government is certainly something that I think all citizens deserve around the world, and it's very encouraging to see the work that you're doing here to try to bring more of that to the Philippines and also educating people here in the United States about some of these issues. I want to thank both of you for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. It's our pleasure.